back in actually Peter's hotel room, and we just did the second day of our Pirates set visit.
Yes, and this video we will be talking about the interviews that we conducted on set that should be on the site somewhere, on your site and my site.
Hopefully.
Hopefully it's there, if the recordings have not somehow been destroyed.
Well, anyway, we started the day talking about, or talking with the two new lead characters, who are essentially the Orlando Bloom, Keira Knightley characters.
You made that prediction.
Right.
And I actually think that it was a good prediction.
Okay.
It was a fair prediction. I actually thought it was very smart. I don't think that prediction might be accurate.
No, it's
seems like they're a very small part of the film.
Well, they come in, from what I can tell, the first third is all Jack. The second third is Jack mixed with new characters, and the last third is everyone together looking for the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
So, the two new characters who let's get the names right.
Sam Claflin.
Yeah, he plays a missionary.
And you're gonna have to read the girl's name, because I don't know.
I will. Sam's a year out of drama school, and although everyone's gonna have seen this girl by the time this thing airs, her name is Astrid Burgess Frisbee.
She's a great name.
Right. She's a French actress. She's 22, 23. She plays a mermaid. And we learned during the interview that...
Let's talk about the guy first. Let's talk about... He plays... Sam plays Philip,
right,
who is a young missionary who is basically... he's been captured by...
Blackbeard.
Blackbeard, and has been, held captive on Blackbeard's ship, as a slave,
Totally. And we...
We were told by Sam that basically... The character is kind of being pushed to the edge of his... he's starting to realize that religion is not everything.
But I think he also starts realizing that when he meets Astrid's character.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, what Sam also told us was, on Blackbeard's ship, he is feared by the other pirates. He stands up for himself, and he's feared that he's a man of God, so the pirates sort of want to leave him alone.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, I would imagine he's a man of God, and then Astrid comes along, mermaid, beautiful, and all of a sudden he starts falling for her, and, that is a reason, or one of the reasons why he starts to, as his relationship with God weakens, his love for Astrid gets stronger.
Yeah, we should mention this actor, Sam Claflin, is a year out of drama school.
Yeah.
He has really been in almost nothing. Or nothing you've seen, probably.
He did something which he said will be out, before Pirates, but
yeah.
Both of these people are essentially not known, which I think adds...
But it's incredible, though, talking to this guy, that he went from, drama school a year ago... To, being at, with Johnny Depp in the fourth film in the Pirates of the Caribbean series. And this guy, it hasn't hit him yet. You can tell. It really hasn't occurred.
Well, I think he sort of knows, yeah. But right now, for example, we were talking, he's very anonymous. No one knows who he is.
Yeah.
But a year from now, I mean, the guy will have been seen by millions of people. He will not be able to go to Disneyland again and just take it in.
Yeah.
His anonymity is going to be gone, assuming that, the movie's a huge hit, which there's no doubt it will be. Just to interrupt for one second our little thing, there's no doubt that this is a stronger movie than the last two.
Yeah. I mean, we'll wrap that out at the end.
Sure.
Well, you know what he said? He was one of the first people that we talked to that was really I came on this and there's a lot of crew... that were on the past Pirates movies, and everybody I talked to said, you know what, this is a good script.
Yeah, and...
And that to him, and he said it's hugely focused back on the characters, where the last two might have been more special effects and action, or, it was around set pieces.
Yeah,
he said, totally. And that's the thing we heard from a lot of the people that we talked to. It's they went back to the characters.
Totally. Well, I also we also interviewed Jerry Bruckheimer today, super producer Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah.
And he even said, he didn't say, the last movie might have had some issues the way we all know it did, but
yeah.
He acknowledged that this movie is more straightforward piece, not as many, it's character-based, straightforward, not as many characters.
Yeah.
And I think that because of that, it's going to be a stronger
film. He said specifically... They learned from part three. Part three had so many characters that had to wrap up all the storylines, which is why he said that's why it was such a long film. And he was like, this one, we just wanted to, you know, just be, you know, much totally. Cleaner. And that's what it is.
We should mention, we did all three of the interviews in the storeroom of the bar. So it was just really cool because you're sitting in like a set that you know is going to be part of this big action set piece. And yet we're just sitting there, you know, doing interviews. There were only eight of us. And it was like a very intimate setting. It was just.
And it's funny, they were kind of doing some construction, which during some of the interviews was a little bit distracting. But then when Jerry Bruckheimer's interview happened, mysteriously the construction got shut down completely.
Well, I don't think. I think,
I think Jerry just.
It's like, we need to stop that for a second.
Yeah.
It was. All three interviews were good. The first two were extended, like 30 minutes each. Really covered a lot of stuff.
We should talk about Astrid, because we haven't really mentioned what she is.
Sure. She's a mermaid. There we go.
And in this film, as you'll see, she's a mermaid underwater, and when she's out of water, she has feet.
Totally.
Which is CG. They did motion capture and all that kind of stuff.
She mentioned 6 hours of makeup. On some days.
I didn't hear that.
I did. And she said, like, there were some days she's on set or she'd be working 18 hours. You know, she didn't seem like, but also, you know what we got to talk about?
And she says that she's very vague about what purpose her character serves in the film, but she said she passes a lot of time with a group of pirates because the pirates need her for some reason.
Right.
And I asked what reason it was, and she kind of like, I can't spoil this movie.
But Mr. Bruckheimer told us there is a mermaid action set piece, which is what they filmed in L.A. on that in the Universal backlot for 2-3 weeks, and also there's a huge action set piece.
Oh yeah, Astrid talked about the action set piece, which apparently like takes place above water, underwater. Yep. They filmed for 3 weeks on Universal.
Right,
we learned from the production designer that when they were in scouting locations in Hawaii. They actually fell in love with this cove area. And when they were there, like, the water was calm and stuff. When they went back to shoot, huge waves, you know, impossible to shoot there. So, you know, at the last second, they decided, let's recreate that bay on the Universal lot. And that's where they shot 3 weeks. They actually had to build that, like, just... I mean, that's crazy that a production does that. They're like... Oh, we can't shoot here. Let's recreate that, you know.
Yeah, but you know something? It's actually, I would argue...
It's a huge set. If you ever saw, like, pictures from the set, it's like...
Oh, no. You can see it on the trim around the thing. But I would actually argue that it is almost cheaper to build it because you can control the location for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And with the ocean, if something comes along, like a storm, the whole set's going to be destroyed and then you've lost a week. Yeah. You know, yeah, it costs a lot of money, but... You know, that's why they work on sound stages, because you control all your elements.
Oh, yeah.
The
other interesting thing that Astrid said is sometimes her character is more human than a real human. And I wrote that down. I don't know what that means. I'm sure we'll find out in the film.
Sure, she was pretty guarded with her answer.
Yeah, she was guarded, and she speaks three languages. English is...
her third language, so she's still working on it.
Yeah, still working on it.
Spanish.
Hopefully, we'll clean up the transcript so it doesn't it is fluid.
Sure,
I'm sure by the time that she's doing publicity for this movie, she'll have it. I mean, she seems like a very smart.
We have to talk about the craziest thing involving her.
But I do. Oh yeah, are you gonna talk? Yeah,
But you mind?
Yeah.
Okay. The craziest thing was, so we did the interview with her, and. And then we were doing another interview, and she was sort of hanging out in the room. Then we decided, we were told we're going to walk to set and watch some filming, and she just goes with us. And, you know, it's just hanging out with us and just talking.
Yeah.
And then we're, like, at the coffee thing, she's hanging out. Like, it was very weird to have what's clearly a star of the movie.
I don't think she realized...
That's not the way that normal
things that's not what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
She was, like, hanging out with the press, and we were hanging out with her for probably, like, 2 hours.
Yeah, she was around for a lot, and, like she was telling us she, like, you know, when she wasn't filming in certain set things, she would go to set and just hang out because she wanted to learn, and, but she went with us because she just wanted to watch and learn and take stuff in, but we were talking to, Terry Rossio.
Yeah, the screenwriter. The co-screenwriter.
And she was there for, like, half the interview just hanging out, like, listening, and it would be like,
I think she was just interested in the process.
Absolutely, but to put it in comparison, she obviously doesn't have as big of a part as Keira Knightley in the first Pirates movie. It's like, imagine the Keira Knightley character reduced by, say, 50%. That's probably her role.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would be like the Keira Knightley character just hanging out with the journalists on set, you know, just
chilling. Which I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, you never know. I mean, first film in Pirates, maybe Keira Knightley would have... No, I mean,
sure, well, whatever.
Anyways, Terry. We should talk about the interview with Terry, who wrote all the Pirates films with his collaborator...
Terry Rossio and...
why am I forgetting?
Something Elliot. Terry and... shit. Dude.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we're embarrassing ourselves right now, but
yes.
Whatever. The point is, Terry has a writing partner. Fuck, I can't remember his name. Elliot. Whatever, let's move on. The point is, so Terry's on set, and we were able to talk with him for a while. We spoke to him for quite a while, but he is like Jerry Bruckheimer. But Jerry was pretty revealing. He is adept at talking to us for 20 minutes, but not really saying anything with a lot of detail. He was hard to pin down on certain things, but yeah. It was a good interview.
He told us that he reads all the movie websites, and he specifically reads, like, the fan sites for Pirates. And he actually revealed that they actually went there on a regular basis, read, like, the forums and stuff, and actually took a lot of feedback.
Yep.
And actually incorporated it into the series, and he seemed really proud of that. Where a lot of screenwriters and directors and stuff would be like, they really had this attitude of, oh, no, I don't listen. They don't know what's best for... You know, totally. It's really... And I'm not saying that attitude's bad, but it's interesting to see a creative person who takes pride in actually listening to the fans.
Totally. He was also interesting because he revealed, and was very honest about it, that Johnny Depp was rather instrumental in a lot of the story stuff in this movie, that he was, like, coming in and talking to them and going over stuff. Yeah. And for example...
They said that like, Johnny, like, provided moments, characters, scenarios.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Philip, the missionary character, is Johnny's creation. He's like, that is the character we need to, you know, put in the film. And it's, I gotta tell you, like, I mean, I know a lot of the movie now, and the thing is loaded with action, and I think it's a way stronger... I mean, this is definitely closer... In tone to the first Pirates in terms of, like, a fun, straightforward movie.
Yeah.
Without too many side plots.
It was interesting for me, because I have a screenwriting background, talking to him about how he creates a film like this. And it was really like, oh, we have a big board where, like, we write ideas on notepads, and we're like, these are the things we want. And we put them on a board, and we basically kind of, see how they connect and figure out what doesn't fit. Which he actually revealed. They have a whole wall of these post-it cards that didn't fit in this movie, which he'd be like, they could fit in future Pirate movies.
And let's asterisk, Bruckheimer said that they've already come up with an idea for the fifth one.
Yeah.
And, which is not really shocking here when the movies make $1 billion and, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So the interview with Terry's... Look, the good thing is we're going to be posting all the interviews,
yeah.
So you'll be able to, like, read all of them.
Another interesting thing is he called this a James Bond single story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this is. This is the Jack Sparrow film. You know what I mean? It's...
And he also talked about how... and he quoted Tolkien from Lord of the Rings, how as they were moving through an area, Tolkien would talk about the... distant mountains of whatever it might be in the distance. And he said that because we asked about...
And fans would ask Tolkien all the time, you know, why don't you write about what's over there? And I want to learn more about that. And
right. Oh, yeah, I mean, he'd be like, well, then I have to tell you this other thing. But what Terry was also saying is that because we were asking him, are you planting seeds for future pirate movies in this film? And he said, there is definitely things around what we choose to engage in, you know, will be determined if we do another one down the road. But it's just the point that they're, like, putting things in there that may or may not pay off. But it's just to add more, more stuff to the world.
Yeah. And at one point, he mentioned that they were stuck. And he was like, usually when we're stuck, we'll do research. And then when research doesn't work, we just basically walk around in circles trying to figure things out. And then he was like, we went back to the ride, the original Disneyland Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and he said that they found a solution for a big story problem and it's part of the movie. He wouldn't tell us what it was because apparently it's maybe spoilerish.
He was very guarded with
it. It could just be he was guarded.
Yeah.
But he says you'll know it when you see it. So.
Yeah, again, good interview. And then getting back to the Bruckheimer thing, to talking with Jerry, surprisingly open about a lot of stuff, more so than I've seen him in the past. And, you know, talk to us about everything from budget to filming, you know, all these different locations.
Yeah.
And
they never considered post-conversion 3D.
Yeah, always 3D.
They're only filming one scene in this that they're converting in post, and that's just a necessity. They couldn't get the cameras onto the location.
Right, which, by the way, will be fine, because if you only have to post-convert a small sequence, it's easy to get that done in, say, 6 to 8 weeks. You know, that's not a big deal. It's when you're post-converting a two-hour movie that's an issue. You're post-converting 10 to 15 minutes, no problem.
Yeah. I think the most interesting part for me of what he was talking about had nothing to do with pirates, but it had to do with... I'm just so fascinated as Jerry Bruckheimer, mega producer,
sure,
and talking about his day where he wakes up at 7, he goes to the gym at 8, he's at the gym watching a screener of a television episode... one of his shows, emailing notes, reading scripts on his iPad at the gym, and then he gets to set at 9, and then he's on set from 9 to 5, and then after, you know, Rob Marshall's done, he meets with Rob Marshall, and then after that, the U.S. day starts, where he gets on phones, and he's on the phone with Hollywood until
3 in the morning.
3 a.m.
Yeah,
is the time he goes to bed, because 3 a.m. is the time that
it's the end of the day in L.A.
Yeah.
He basically was saying that he gets about 4 hours of sleep and works constantly, and that is why his name is on everything.
Yeah.
Because it is. His name is absolutely on everything. So, we got 4 interviews. We were not able to interview Johnny Depp or Jeffrey Rush, mostly because they were filming this crazy sequence. But I'm not... From what I gathered, I don't think Johnny and Jeffrey do a lot of interviews when they're in costume. And also, Jeffrey Rush was only...
And Rob Marshall doesn't do interviews on set as well.
And I think that Jeffrey Rush... I didn't know this, but I think Jeffrey Rush is only in the movie for a very brief moment.
That's
Barbossa.
Yeah.
I think he's only filming the 3 days and
we'll talk about that later when we talk about the scene. And we'll do that in the next video blog, which you can watch. Okay, so we've talked about our tour of the sets. We've talked about the people that we have interviewed on set. But we haven't talked about actually going on set and watching the filming of the movie. So that's what we're here to do in this video blog.
And also to talk about like going into the costume department and...
And we'll also give our final conclusions on what we thought of this whole experience and this whole trip.
So let's jump into... So we were able to watch some filming today. And the scene that was being filmed was between Jack Sparrow and the King.
King George, who is played by Richard...
Griffith.
Yeah, who many people will remember from the Harry Potter series as
Harry's
stepdad. Yeah.
Exactly.
And basically, the scene takes place after Jack Sparrow has been arrested and caught, and he's in this big, gigantic room. I forget the name of the room.
It's like the king's dining room.
The dining room of St. James Palace is
what
it's called.
Massive room. And so Jack is on one side.
Massive paintings on all
the
walls. Extravagant. There's like this huge, like,
gold
20-foot golden chandelier hanging from the ceiling. And there's this table that's probably like a 30-foot long table.
I can describe the table. Original Batman movie, that kind of a table. When Bruce Wayne and Vicki Vale are sitting there. So Jack is on one side. Instead of on each end, like Vicky and Bruce Wayne, they're across from each other in the middle. And you have Jack on one side, the King on the other. Apparently the scene will begin, there's a painting of King George, of Richard Griffith as King George, against the wall. And what's going to happen is he's going to walk out. That's going to be like a little funny gag. So, you know, you'll see him. He sits down and the...
And this is a scene that basically, well, first of all, I think the King thinks that Jack has a map to get to the Fountain of Youth.
Yes.
And
Jack thinks that the King has the map to
the
Fountain of Youth.
So they're both talking to each other, trying to get information from each other. And at the same time, this is a gigantic room with no exit
and
way to escape.
What?
And the whole time, it's kind of like Usual Suspects with Jack playing you know, this whole back and forth, he's also trying to figure out a way to escape.
Well, I mean, we should. There's a few other things to know. There's going to be a number. There's a number of guards in the scene protecting the king. It's unclear if the king actually might have the map, and we're still a little debate on that. Like, either they both think that each other have the map, or there's a chance a king does have the map, and Jack has this whole time been setting up his escape, and the escape happens once he gets the map, which is why I'm wondering if maybe the king does have the map. Because then he gets the map, and then he escapes. And that is the ending of the... And that's when he gets out in the street.
Whatever it is, we should bring up one more character that...
There is another character.
...was kind of a surprise that joined the scene. And that is...
Captain Barbossa, Geoffrey Rush.
Who doesn't look much like the Barbossa we remember. Because he has since become a privateer, which a privateer is kind of like...
He works for the king, and he does...
It's a state-sanctioned pirate, basically. Yeah,
exactly. And we should also mention, in the scene, he walks up and he puts on the table in front of Jack
his right
leg with a blue sock going to his knee, which is going to be CGI'd out, and it's going to be a...
peg leg.
Exactly.
Interesting enough, being on set, we didn't see any of this stuff filmed. We are over at a monitor. As much as the set is huge... You know, the camera and the crew are all in there. So we're over at a monitor, probably.
We were very close to set. We could, hear the dialogue through the wall, but there was just no place to stand inside the set because the camera was taking, shots and stuff like that.
And they're filming this thing on Red System 3D, which is interesting because most of the 3D sets I've been on, it's been two cameras side by side. In this one, it's a camera mounted here, and then there's a camera mounted going down with a mirror. So that's how they do the 3D. Anyways.
That's why it looks like when you see pictures of the camera, it looks like there's only one camera.
Yeah.
Because it's... Yeah, anyway, you're right. So we watched filming for a little while.
And it's interesting, we should say, watch filming... That means putting on 3D glasses, looking at a plasma screen, and actually seeing as good of 3D as you'd see on the big,
Totally. We should mention, when we saw one of the shots, it starts with two guards on the outside, and then it goes in. When the camera's on King George, he's in focus and not in 3D or anything, but the guards that are on his left frame right... Those are in the distance, and those were clearly in 3D. Like, you had to wear the glasses, and it was distance. And it's nice because I don't think that they're going for that stupid 3D. They're just making a movie from what we were able to see.
It looked very James Cameron-like, where you're looking into a window of a world, and not really much is coming out.
Well, in the sequence we were watching, it was just straightforward filmmaking, and the guys in the background were, that was where the depth was. So we did not spend a lot of time on set. We spent a little time there. And as we mentioned in a previous video from yesterday, we got a whole tour of everything else. So do you want...
We also went to the costume department with Academy Award-winning designer Penny Rose, who has done the other Pirates movies, Prince of Persia. She's a tough cookie.
She is.
And I think she would be proud... that we say she's a tough cookie.
Yes.
She's really no nonsense, and she really gives the impression that this is all old hat. She's done this three times before, and this is, more pirates.
Yeah, she talked about the challenges of finding a new angle for the pirate, and that she had all these drawings up on the wall.
Yeah.
And
when she heard Ian McShane was cast, her idea was biker pirate.
Yeah.
And what she called... he will probably be the last pirate I create.
Yes. She said that she had no idea where to look to find another design.
Yeah.
She also showed us Penelope Cruz's costume, Ian McShane's costume.
Penelope Cruz has this kind of leather corset. Jack Sparrow looks exactly like Jack Sparrow. He has a new vest, which she says Depp decided that Sparrow stole it somewhere along the line. And... she actually presented Depp with three different patterns, and Depp actually chose the pattern of the vest.
I did not know that.
So I think that was when you were off glancing
at
stuff that you shouldn't have been.
But I guess this would be a good time to mention there were two groups of journalists in this room, so about 16 to 20 people, and everyone's focused on Penny, looking at the costumes. I, on the other hand, had distanced myself and had gone against a different wall, looking. What people don't understand is in the costume department and in the props department, sometimes on the wall, but especially costume department, they have pictures, headshots, of all the actors who are going to be in the movie with their character name, so they can reference them.
We should say, though, that before the press come to set, everybody is told, oh, there's press going to be on set, do not mention these 10 things. You know, John Connor is not becoming a Terminator,
sure,
or blah, 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 blah. The two places that they usually screw up,
yes,
we shouldn't be telling them this,
okay,
but whatever,
costume
is the costume department and the props department.
Uh-huh.
And the costume department last on Terminator Salvation is where we actually saw, like, on the wall it said, John Connor becomes Terminator on this one day, which didn't end up happening.
We're building up to a whole bunch of nothing here because minor spoiler warning here. So if you don't want to learn, fast forward a little bit. But one of the pictures.
I don't think this is a spoiler because I think.
But if you want to be surprised, whatever.
Be in the IMDb credit, so I think it'll be fine. But.
One of the headshots was Keith Richards, which means he's probably back again as
Jack Sparrow's father. As we said in a previous vlog, we were told that some familiar faces appear in the courtroom scene.
Right.
So I think Jack Sparrow's father might be a material witness or something.
That's a good call on that. And then the other person I saw that was a name was Dame Judi Dench. And she has not been listed as far as I can tell thus
she
far.
Might play... What would your guess be?
My guess was she's playing the Queen of England, but there's also the possibility that she's playing another character. But
yeah,
it just makes...
She could,
She could play the Guardian of the
Fountain.
We haven't
met Jack Sparrow's mother yet.
You really think she'd be Jack Sparrow's mother?
Wouldn't that be weird if we find out that... anyways.
There's also the possibility that she's guarding... She's one of the characters that guards the Fountain of Youth.
I mean, she's like Keith Richards' age, right?
Sure, but she could also be the Queen of England.
Yeah. We don't know. We're probably looking stupid right about now because this is coming out weeks before the film's coming out and they've seen Judi Dench in the trailer and, oh, you guys are idiots. She's the Queen.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the point is, these have not been announced, these people, and it was cool. And also, we learned that Barbossa has taken an admiral's uniform from the English Royal Navy or whatever, and that we saw his costume. So it's funny that, you know, he's going... on that.
That's all that we basically saw in the costume shop.
Actually, a little bit more. I found out that, looking with my little note-taking, they started filming around June 14th, and they wrapped November 4th. Pretty nice shoot. And one other thing. The movie's called On Stranger Tides.
Which is based on... Because it's based on a book.
Sure, but also, they told us yesterday that it was a tide, a power of some kind that got the ship, that got that ship on the island that's teetering.
Yeah.
So, I'm wondering if Blackbeard, with the ships in the bottle, has some sort of connection with the tides.
Oh.
I was starting to put that together.
Interesting.
Which is why, On Stranger Tides. Anyway,
So movie. Let's bottom line it. I came in, with almost no expectations because the last two movies were not the first movie, and I really didn't like the Orlando Bloom character and the Keira Knightley character. I'm in it for Jack. I'm in it for Johnny Depp. I'm in it for the Jack Sparrow character, and it seems like this movie gives me. This movie is going to give me what I want.
I think the greatest thing this movie has going for it is as we've discussed a little bit earlier, it knows that the last two films got bogged down by too many characters, too many storylines, and it was a little too confusing for the audience to follow.
It's a little too convoluted.
You shouldn't have to work that hard to enjoy a Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And this movie has a much more straightforward story, much less characters, and it's going to... You know, there's tons of action in this thing.
Yeah.
I kind of figured this movie was going to be good just because, you know, they had to have known that they fucked up on the third movie.
Well, the interesting thing, one of the things Terry Russio said is when they originally envisioned a Pirates movie, which he said you know, we envisioned a we thought we were going to make a Pirates movie, and that was going to be the only Pirates movie that was made in Hollywood for 50 years. Because
sure.
We never thought there was going to be a sequel. I mean, nobody wanted to make a Pirates movie. But one of the things he said was, we envisioned it as, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark by way of the Three Musketeers. Like, the swashbuckling of Three Musketeers. And it seems like they're going back to that with this film. It really seems like a return to that original kind of brand and concept.
I'm very sure that if this thing sticks to what we learned on set and what we found out, that they absolutely have a winning formula on this one. There's no doubt. And I definitely think that this will play... fans of the first film are going to be very happy with this one. I mean, it really does seem stronger.
My only concern...
Yes.
Is Penelope Cruz. She's not always the best actress in English language films.
We still don't know that enough about her character in this film, though. We still are not 100% on...
No, but we don't know anything about her character, and that worries me. They haven't told us anything about the character. And the thing that worries me, not Penelope Cruz, but the... I always hate it in sequels... when they're like, oh, we need to bring in the love interest or the long-lost love interest and make that, like, how big is her role going to be in this? Like, that always worries me. It always worries me because I just want Jack. Do you know what I mean?
You can't have Jack on screen all the time. It needs to be... There was a story that Terry told us today that everyone during Sandman... Everyone loved the character of Death. And, you know, Neil Gaiman would say, the secret is, Death is in once in a while. So when you get Death, you know, the character, it is, you know, you really
enjoy. That's why you
it.
Like Death.
Yes.
It's because he's not there the entire time.
Which is what Jack Sparrow needs to be. You can't have you can't have Jack on frame all the time. But I got to tell you, we learned...
But it usually bothers me, like, in a film like National Treasure, where they... In the second film, they need to bring in, you know, the father's, the mother. And
sure,
again, when you bring in these other characters, for some reason that always, like, it almost never works.
I hear what you're saying, but here's my thing on this film. This is the reason why I think that they have it stronger. The first third is in London, and it's all Jack. It's Jack against the King. It's Jack in a huge action set piece across the city, 1750.
Penelope's in that.
No, but she comes in... later on in the sequence.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but it's Jack. Like, it's mostly Jack. Then we get into the sea, into the ocean, and we have Jack mixed with Sam and Astrid and all these other characters, Blackbeard. So then we start introducing everybody, and then, but Jack becomes, you know, he's part of it. Then we go on to the jungle, where it's looking for the Fountain of Youth, and we have all these characters with Jack.
Yeah.
So it's Jack, like, the death
character. And the interesting thing we learned is Fountain of Youth... different characters have different motivations of why they're trying to get to the Fountain of Youth. So
they were pretty guarded with who is going there for what reason.
Yeah. But we know all the characters are kind of headed in that direction. So.
We also learned yesterday they were guarded with who the other Jack Sparrow was in the storeroom.
Yeah, but some people kind of...
And we figured it out today after talking and whatever, and let's reveal...
Penelope Cruz.
Yeah. So it's amazing the difference between one day and the second day, you know?
Yeah.
But look, I mean, listen, there's no debate in my mind. Like, they're spending at least $200 million on this movie, or at least maybe $180. A lot of money.
It looks big. Every set is huge.
This is what we call a huge summer blockbuster. This is a Hollywood extravaganza film.
I hope it's as fun as the first film. That's all I can say.
My gut feeling is that this thing's going to actually be really good. I have a really good feeling about this, just because they actually have a script. And another thing, when we were asking people about improv and you know, stuff like that, all of them were like, no, we're sticking to the script.
Yeah. Johnny does a little, they said.
Sure, but when you're sticking to the script and everyone's talking about the script, you have something there.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they have a winner, which is one of the reasons why Disney is spending so much money and why they're, you know, I everything I heard, I mean, it looks like it's going to be fun. So wrapping up, you're happy you came here?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, this was cool.
I'm glad to say I was on a Pirates movie.
It was good times. Cool. Well, listen, we hope you enjoyed this one, and we're sorry we're not on the streets of London right now. We tried to record this downstairs and outside, and there's, like, all these people with tuxedos doing stuff, and we had to record in the hotel room. But hopefully this will be nicely edited together and whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
And we're about to go see Back to the Future on the big screen, because it's on screens in London.
It's true.
Or in the UK, and it's not in the US. So we got to go. We got to go check that
October,
out.
It's October 11th. 2010, and it's about 7 p.m.
Yes.
Give or take. So, hope you all enjoyed this. And thank you, Disney, and thank you, everyone on set today, for making us feel very welcome.
Yes, thank you.